Good afternoon and welcome to the second hour of Born on the 4th of July. Today, a very significant program with Christopher Boleyn. And this hour, it's my pleasure to invite on with us Pat Owens out of Wisconsin. And I would like to just share with the audience that if it weren't for Pat Owens and all of her good research and many, many faxes years ago, I would not be here. A very favorite person of mine. I say good afternoon to you, Pat.
Well, good afternoon, Barbara.
You're on with Christopher Boleyn, a significant individual for all the world in his tireless research. So the two of you, I would like to have you say greetings, and then to Christopher, the mic is yours. And Pat, if you have any questions or comments this next hour, feel free to join in. And a great researcher, a great American, and the two of you get the chance to meet. Very important.
Hi, Christopher. I think I've read everything you've had written over the years. It's fantastic.
Really? Yes. Thank you.
You've got a good friend down in Illinois, John Ray, who constantly updates me in case I miss anything.
Good. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to I didn't finish that one thought that we were going on about a minute ago about the power of these secret societies. You know, we have them everywhere. You know, Utah has them. The Mormons have them. Everybody, they're everywhere. But one of the most important aspects of the 9/11 cover-up, as you said, Barbara Jean, is the power of the media. And this is a big part of my book about how the media, the controlled media, I call it, has avoided. For example, Professor Jones' research has only been printed in the Salt Lake Tribune and Deseret. It has not been printed. His discovery, which is crucial to understanding 9/11, has not been printed in the New York Times or the Chicago Tribune or the L.A. Times, because these are the controlled press, and namely, the Zionist controlled press. They're controlled. The New York Times is controlled by the Sulzberger family. Sam Zell is the owner of the Tribune Enterprises, but the real issue is that there are these racial secret societies, namely B'nai B'rith, which is the biggest Jewish Freemasonic organization in the world. And Obama, for example, our president, was cultivated since 1992 by a woman who's the daughter of Philip Klutznik. Philip Klutznik was the president of B'nai B'rith, and as a child he was the president of Youth B'nai B'rith. He's the man who built the port of Ashdod in Israel. But he is the man in 1992, until his death in 1999, who cultivated Obama in Chicago. Gave him money, hired David Axelrod and Rahm Emanuel to cultivate this man as a candidate. And that's why people in America and across the world who like to think that Mr. Obama is going to deliver change because he's got a darker skin complexion or because he's the first Negro, part Negro president, they're going to be very disappointed, because he is a continuation of the same radical Zionist policies that afflicted the Bush administration.
And we're in for a ride, it looks like. Things have happened since December. It's almost hard to keep up.
Well, look at what just happened last week. Last week, you know, the president of Afghanistan's on one side, Obama's in the middle, and the president of Pakistan's on the other side, or prime minister, or president, I think, and Zardari, I think that's his name, and they, as that happens, the United States is viciously attacking with some sort of phosphorus bombs or some incendiary bombs, poor people in the western of Afghanistan, causing numerous casualties.
We'll go to break. We'll be right back. We are about 5 months into a new administration. In looking through some of your work, I noticed a quote from NPR that they indicated and felt that Senator Barack Obama, when elected to the Senate of the United States, was the perfect candidate. And then you were talking about the war going on, Afghanistan, and all of those things. Where's the change?
The change is just increased war in Central Asia. I mean, when the president met with the president of Pakistan last week, that's when the offensive began, when the military of Pakistan started pounding the people in the Swat Valley, and now they have a million people or so who are refugees. I mean, the destabilization of Pakistan this is a policy that's completely gone crazy. And Obama doesn't, you know, he's just he has no idea what he's doing. He's only doing what he's told. But this war on terrorism and this endless war in the Middle East is not what any American wants or needs.
And it looks like it will increase.
Well, yes. I mean, because you see, he is a Zionist puppet. You know, it's sad but true. I've written a great deal about that. My website was kind of shut down, where I've written most of that, a lot of that, and it's not everywhere. But the thing is that I'm from Chicago. He was elected in, I think, 2006 or 2004. I don't remember which year it was. I think it was 2004 he was elected. But in any case, I remember when he was elected, I was at home, and when he was elected, NPR came on the next morning. I had attended the election. I had monitored the what they call the vote counting, the vote processing in Chicago, and it's totally rigged. What's interesting about Obama is that when he was running, he was just a junior senator from, not a junior senator, he was a state senator, and he had no name recognition at all. And you know, a man named Obama running when we're looking for Osama, probably didn't go over very well. But what was interesting is that the Republican candidate self-destructed or was destructed in his campaign was destructed in June. And then for like 2 or 3 months, there was no opposition at all. And then finally the black candidate from Maryland.
Alan Keyes
stepped in. He said he bought a townhouse in Chicago or something, and he stepped in and ran a very, you know, lukewarm, no chance operation. And of course, Obama won. It was designed that way. You see, this man has been cultivated. Obama has been cultivated since 1992 to become the president. And you know, some people call him a golem. You know, a person who's been created by the Jews to serve their interests and to wage war on their enemies. And you know, they're not very far off in that evaluation.
Where do you think this is going to go? We have had a coup d'etat with all the funding and the money, and a caller from California was, of course, still concerned about where did the gold go. We've been stripped since you and I last talked.
Yes.
What happened? And I did read your article on Madoff, and Pat, if you have a question on the finances and what have you, I thought maybe if we went through your information on that, it gives us an idea why we may never know.
Yes, that's, I can say a little bit about that. Of course, the Madoff case is you know, the man didn't spend $50 billion buying houses and boats and whatever. This was not a Ponzi scheme. This money, in my mind, was basically a great theft. And this is very typical of what Zionists has been doing for the last 10-20 years with these buying and selling, mergers and acquisitions, stripping of companies, plundering of assets. And you know, Mark Rich, the whole bunch of them, you know. And Madoff is a perfect example. And you know, of course, he's got many Jewish victims, but where'd the money go? And his
Hello, Pat, are you still there? Hello.
Billy, hi. I just lost the line a minute. It's okay.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Have we lost Christopher?
Oh, did you too? I was going to mention something until you get him back. On the front page, the cover of the Business Week, it says how $1 trillion, we're going to be testing the market, how a $1 trillion war chest could revive the economy. And so they've got $1 trillion to put in a war chest. It seems like me, we're just spreading ourselves all over the world, and it'll be just after another.
It's incredible that we're talking about trillions.
We're talking about trillions now, yes.
Now, to the listener out there, if you're still hearing us, do call in, let us know. All of a sudden, it seems like everything broke away, and we were at a very, very important statement here. And so sometimes that does occur. And if you are able to listen to RBN and can hear us, please call in 800-313-9443 just to let us know, and perhaps we'll be able to get Christopher back on really soon. He did indicate that he could spend both hours, and we're hoping that we'll get him back on. Christopher, you're not there with me right now? No. And also, I'm wondering if my producer can hear that also. We'll see what we're going to find out here. But
I'd like to mention something on Christopher mentioned the Chicago Tribune and other newspapers, New York Times, don't print a lot of the articles. It keeps everything on a maintain evenly throughout the country. All the newspapers do. And he should also mention that the book publishers, if you want a book that is different, usually published in Canada or overseas, not in this country, because the big publishers will not touch any of this.
It's hard for the citizens of the United States to consider that we don't have freedom of the press.
No, we don't.
If you mention that to someone, they don't really think that that's true. And then also, most folks now have the news coming over on the television and the analyses also on the television, and they're thinking that's exactly what they should listen to, and that's what they should hear, and very comfortable with that, right?
That's right. Well, I think CBS is tied in with CNN, and NBC is tied in with MSNBC, and we have ABC, I think, is also CNN at times. They refer to each other. So you have a master control, and I remember years ago, Bill Casey is the one who bought Capital Cities from ABC News. He was head of the CIA, I believe, and your news was controlled, is always controlled. It's just controlled, and they're only going to allow you to hear what they want you to hear. And that's why an individual has to really search out. If you're interested, all you have to do is just hit a few words, and it just will open something else up. So
we're hearing from Pat. We're hearing a call here from Joe in Pennsylvania. So, Joe, I guess you can hear us, but we've lost Christopher. Is that what you're...
I'm here.
Joe.
Hello?
Christopher, you're back?
I'm back.
Okay, you were hitting it pretty hard. We've got a lot of people here that were going to comment, so we'll let them come on in a minute. But Pat and I have been suggesting that we were at a critical issue when you got gone. So
yeah, well, it's very simple. I could make it very quickly. This point is that Bernie Madoff, his partner at the university, the Jewish Yeshiva University, and at the business school was Cy Sims, the man who had the Sims clothing stores. Cy Sims was the director of the Israel Discount Bank, of New York. And Israel Discount Bank was privatized, as was Bank Leumi. Two of Israel's big banks were privatized under Benjamin Netanyahu a couple years ago, in the last 5 or 10 years. They were privatized, and they were taken over. Cy Sims was the director of one bank, and the other fella was Merkin. His name is Jacob Ezra Merkin. He was the man who funneled billions of dollars to Madoff's fund. Merkin is a co-owner of Bank Leumi, another private Israeli bank. Now, it's pretty clear in my mind that these big owners of banks don't funnel money to Mr. Madoff for nothing. I'm pretty sure, I've read some articles about it, I haven't seen any documentation, but I'm pretty sure that the Madoff money was sent to, offshore bank accounts that are controlled by these Israeli banks. These Israeli banks, not only are they privatized, but they have branches in Switzerland where they can participate in the Swiss bank secrecy laws. So it's very easy to send, millions and millions of dollars to bank accounts in Switzerland, and you never see it again.
Now, you indicated that the courts are looking upon this as just Madoff, not a conspiracy, and not bringing in others. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. Lev Dustin, who is the Zionist prosecutor, it's just like my case. The judge is the Zionist and the prosecutor is the Zionist. No, they didn't bring up conspiracy. And that article is very important. My articles about Madoff are very important. I would suggest people to read them to understand how this is working. Prosecution has gone very, very light. And when that article, when they wrote about that, they said this might be the last time that any of the evidence is even looked at. You see, the Madoff case is being pushed under the rug. And what's interesting is that there's another fellow, Art Nadel, in Florida. I think it was Sarasota or Venice, Florida. He absconded with something like $350 million. His case was also moved from South Florida to the very same courthouse in Manhattan. They say that because he was using a trader, that he was using a broker in New York. But the crime was committed in South Florida, was it not? See, but they need to control the prosecution of these cases because they don't want it can't come out. You know, it's just like 911. They can't actually have a trial. They can't put this guy, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, on trial because it's not Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, for God's sake. So that's why we're not getting any trials. We're not having any openness. You know, the American people have to get off their behinds and off the couch and start, you know, participating and demanding, you know, action from their politicians and the media.
Now, it's unusual to move a case from Sarasota
right.
into New York, is it not?
Yes, very unusual. Very, very unusual.
Very unusual. We'll come back and we'll learn a little bit more about the prosecutor, Lev Dassen. That's D-A-S-S-E-N, and we will take your calls. Welcome back. Art Nadal, N-A-D-A-L.
Yeah.
Okay, and he was out of Sarasota, Florida. And you informed me by my reading your work that he became the owner of the Venice, Florida Jet Center
right.
flight school, where some of the supposed hijackers from Saudi Arabia, et cetera,
right.
for the 9/11 hijacking into the buildings, they had trained, and they had trained there when it was under different ownership. But
right.
that is a real interesting thought. And then further in some of your writings, I picked up these two sentences or paragraphs, and I think they kind of set the stage of where we're going to go with the Lev Dassen, D-A-S-S-I-N, prosecuting attorney, and how it all works. 9/11, and this is a description now from Bolin's work. Structure complete, the wiring in place. The switch was thrown, and the long-planned terror atrocity became real. At the most crucial position in the U.S. law enforcement, where executive decisions were made, sat Michael Chertoff as a key position assistant attorney general, also controlling the criminal division at the Department of Justice. That's 2001, but also in 1993 at the earlier World Trade Center bombing. So now
exactly.
We've got that set up. Now let's go to Lev Dassen. And we know we've got people wanting to come on, and so we're going to try to go real fast, and we'll open it up to the calls.
Okay, you have to remind me, Lev Dassen, I know that Chertoff was prosecuting the fake bombing, the first false flight there, and Lev Dassen, I don't recall, I mean, he's a Zionist, I don't remember, what was his connection to the 93 bombing, or do you remember? Do you have it there?
I don't, he was, he worked for Manhattan, and he was a non-appointed person responsible.
Yes, yes, that's it, he's not appointed, he's a temporary fill-in guy. And
right.
he's taking these cases. That's it. He's not gone through the appointment process and the vetting process. He's simply been a temporary, and he's filling in for somebody. And he's handling this huge Madoff case. I remember that. And you know, that's the thing is that it's not a real prosecution. It makes no sense to be prosecuting the Madoff case without having charges of conspiracy. Makes no sense at all.
What you also had before we forget that is Dassen worked closely with Chertoff on the 1993 bombing.
Right. Thank you. That's right.
So there's part of that critical positioning that maybe people
it's
with short memories.
Club, Barbara Jean, it's a very small club. This extreme Zionist Orthodox Jews usually is Orthodox Zionist Jews in New York. Who are, you know, part of this mechanism, the cover-up mechanism and the prosecution mechanism. It's a small club. And when we're talking of, you know, these names keep popping up. It's like the Israeli names that are involved in this. They keep popping up time and time again. You know, when you see them five times in a row in your research, you know that this guy's doing something. And it's the same thing, you know, Chertoff and then his cousin went and wrote the, you know, the propaganda piece for National Geographic or for Popular Mechanics.
It's incredible, isn't it, Pat?
We
have Joe in Pennsylvania. Are you still with us?
Yes.
Okay, comment or question for Chris Bolin or Pat Owens. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Barbara Jean. Christopher, I am a longtime American Free Press reader, and I have to tell you, I enjoyed your writings, you know, when you were writing for the American Free Press.
Yeah, great. That was great. It really got me to write an article once a week that was very important. you know, I had to do it, and the research had to be done, and, you know, I got paid for it. That was a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, it just, I enjoyed it, learned a lot about vote fraud. I know you did a lot of work on that subject.
Yes, yes.
And I'm just curious, because it seems like, you know, you had some type of falling out there.
But we don't have time to go there.
No, no. The thing is about the vote fraud articles are very important, because that is the essential problem that's facing our republic, that we do not have accountable government because we do not have honest election. And until we rectify that problem, until we get back to hand-counted paper ballots that are counted in front of the voters in the public in each polling station, we're going to continue to have the same kind of, you know, fake democracy that we have. That's just, you know, there's no change. That's why Obama is not a change, because we haven't changed the way we select our leaders.
No, absolutely. It's the Republicans and Democrats. It's always they're Zionists control both of them. There's no question. And
yeah,
you know, the way the media blacked out Ron Paul was.
Yeah. Well, the important thing about the Zionists and the Jews, you know, bless their hearts, is but they're organized. They're organized. They're organized, and they have their, you know, their own powerful groups, and but they also have their secret society, the B'nai B'rith, which is only open for Jewish people. But they're organized. They're networked. And, you know, for them to manipulate the U.S. government and the U.S. Population, it's really like cutting, you know, a warm knife through butter, because we, most Americans, are not nearly so organized.
We're not. And, you know, it's interesting that for the $50 billion that are, you know, wandering somewhere through Mr. Madoff's organization, not to think that there would be other people involved with him is unusual, don't you think?
Absolutely. You know, $50 billion with $50,000 million. How do you hide that kind of money? You have to have people that own banks in order to be able to even move that kind of cash.
We'll go to break, and we thank the caller from Pennsylvania. Born on the 4th of July, I hope your curiosity out there, America, has risen to higher levels. Questions to be asked, things to be done, and a challenge for every citizen. If, in fact, the latest paper on the particles in the towers can be proved, and they have been, and all of Europe is aware, and the very highest educated and accepted individual on nanotechnology, Niels Harrit, is on their national TV in Denmark, people are talking. And his answer to his interrogator was that, and a friendly interrogator, as we live in the day of America's torture, he said, hundreds of thousands of people across the world know that it was a demolition. So there is that following out there. And in New York, Madoff can get away with billions, and he's doing it all alone. Pat, we're more intelligent than that, aren't we, in America?
That's correct. Can you imagine balancing $50 million or $1 billion or whatever you want to call it? One human could not even do it. He had to have such a team of workers. It's unreal.
Well, we appreciate Christopher Berlin and his tenacious, informative, with pictures so you can see the person with the name. Where do they go to find all that information, and where do they go to give you some assist?
Well, they can go to Bolin.com. As B as in boy, OLLYN.com. That's my website. That's working very well. My Madoff piece is in there, and also about Art Nadel and the whole thing. You know, it's pretty well. It works pretty well now. It works much better than Bolin.info, which is the hijacked website. But and there they can send a check to my address in Illinois, or they can donate by PayPal to Bolin at BolinBooks.com. I would certainly appreciate it.
We need your input. We need you to stay solvent and well and travel the world, as you have shown us in the past with your great work. James in Illinois, we say welcome to you.
Hi, Barbara Jean?
Yes.
Yes, how are you? And Christopher, how are you?
Very good. Thank you, James.
Yeah. Chris, so many things to say in just a moments to say then. I wanted to address the fact that, of course, you're a student of history. You have a degree in history. And one of the things that you've emphasized, which is so important, I think, is the Israel connection and the history of false flag operations. mm-hmm. which a lot of people are not familiar with. But aside from that, I just wanted to mention, because I support you very strongly, as you know, one of the things in America, in this country, which so much marginalizes people that are trying to get out the truth on 9/11 is a false smear, the smear tactic of anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
You have suffered greatly from this,
mm-hmm.
this classical ad hominem attack,
mm-hmm.
and the effect is to try to marginalize you and to take away,
yeah.
To undermine the truth which you're speaking up so strongly against.
Absolutely.
So,
right.
So perhaps you might want to mention this terrible business of this false claim of anti-Semitism. I know you suffered from it on the CNN interview.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you, James. That's very true. The article that he's referring to is one of my big chapters in the book about the, I think it's called America the Target, where we talk about the USS Liberty and the Levant bombings in Egypt. And there's many, many cases, the coal bombing and the Marine Barracks bombing and now 9/11. There's one writer wrote the other day that there's a straight line from the murder of John F. Kennedy through the coal incident, through the USS Liberty sinking in 1967. Straight through to 9/11, and that is the truth, and that's what my book is all about. My book details and documents this connection, this straight line that we're talking about. You know, here we talk about Arlen Specter. We were just mentioning him a minute ago. Arlen Specter just did a flip-flop, went from being a Republican for 30 years, now he's becoming a Democrat. Giving the 60, the vote number 60 to the Senate caucus, the Democratic caucus, so that they will not be able to, the Republicans will not be able to make any procedural blocking of radical legislation coming through on the Democratic side. And this is the man who foisted this ridiculous, preposterous magic bullet theory, where that one bullet came in and hit Kennedy from behind and went into Mr. Connolly and Governor Connolly and here. I mean, this is, you know, 90% of American people do not believe the magic bullet theory, do not believe that Lee Harvey Oswald was the only assassin that day. But the person who authored that thesis, who authored that theory, has been reelected to the Senate 5 times in the state of Pennsylvania. This is ridiculous. I mean, how can we accept such ridiculous liars and cheats to be in the U.S. Senate for 30 years? I mean, you know, and now he's just, you know, putting another nail in the coffin. The man is 80 years old. He's running for the 6th term in the Senate next year. He's 80 years old, and he'll probably get elected.
Well, it seems impossible that the folks who voted him in as a Republican can let them change their mind when they get there. Not that it makes a whole lot of difference anymore, but it does seem unusual that they aren't up in arms and saying, no, 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 you have to come back and go through an elective process.
Well, they're asking for their money back, which is a wonderful thing. But, you know, this man, Arlen Specter, he's obviously a very high player in this secret society, this B'nai B'rith. His own father, you know, lived in Israel and died in Israel. His sister has lived in Israel since World War II. I mean, the connection to the State of Israel is you know, pretty big in the Specter family. And you know, this is the thing, is that we have dual nationals running our country. Mr. Michael Sheratov, for example, is an Israeli national. Rahm Emanuel is an Israeli national. Sherman Skolnick, a Chicago historian, a Jewish fella, said that Rahm Emanuel's father, Benjamin Emanuel, who's a doctor who lives in Wilmette or something, was one of the killers of the UN envoy, Volker Bernadotte, back in 1947-48. You know, this terrible murder that occurred of Volker Bernadotte and the Frenchman Seurat. You know, and this Rahm Emanuel is named after an Israeli Irgun terrorist. I mean, these are the people. This is the number one man in the White House. He is making the decisions. He decides who sees the president, who the president talks to, who gets the president's ear. I mean, this, Americans have to understand, this doesn't go. You know, this just doesn't go. We can't allow this. We can't have a dual national running our country.
James in Illinois, you're on, and we welcome you to Born on the 4th of July. Good afternoon.
Right. Hi. Same James here, Barbara.
I've already got you on.
But I'll tell you what, I just want to get one more quick comment. The Israel connection is just so destructive. Christopher, as a student of history, do you see any hope in the future for somehow breaking, the United States breaking this disastrous relation with Israel?
Oh, James, that's a great question. I wish I knew. You know, it seems like it's only getting stronger, James. You know, Benjamin Netanyahu, the man who was behind the bombing in London in July of 2005, who's up to his neck in this terrorism in the Middle East and in the United States, is now the prime minister. And our president is a servant of the Israeli lobby and of the Zionist power in the United States. I don't know. You know, I hope the Pope will stand up against this. I saw the Pope was meeting with Netanyahu the other day for 15 minutes. I really don't know, James, because I don't see that our churches are helping us very much get out of this mess. But we have to get the truth. If we get the truth of 9-1-1 out, if we can move on the evidence that we have, that will certainly break the dam.
Okay, thank you very much. And now we welcome Miles in California. Miles, are you there?
Thank you for your wonderful show. One little comment and one little question, to be very brief. Anyone who confuses the people who now inhabit the geographical area we call Israel with the people who are descendants of the son of Jacob had better do some study. They are not the same people.
Good comment. Very good comment.
Okay, that's the first comment. The second comment is, after repeated attempts to contact local media to get them to acknowledge or release or whatever these types of stories that we share all of the time, anymore, they just turn me off.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do about this? And they've turned off everyone on a local level. Our local paper here is the Fresno Bee, one of the most communist rags that ever was.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. Okay, a very good point. You know, that his first point is about the Ashkenazi, the Russian Jews from Eastern Europe, who are the driving force of Zionism, and that's absolutely true. It says in Genesis, in the book of Genesis, that Ashkenazi are the sons of Gomer and Japheth, and that's a different line completely from the Abraham line. We all know that. Yes, but more importantly than their racial background or the fact that they're Khazars or Eastern Europeans from wherever, what's more important, of course, is their belief, and they have a belief in Jewish supremacy. This is what's dangerous. This is what's damning. They have a chauvinistic belief that they are better than other people, and other people's lives do not merit, are not worth anything. This is the problem. You know, this is when you have that kind of religious belief of racial supremacy, and that you are smarter and better and more worthy than other people. You know, we're in a bunch of trouble. That is not a belief that Americans can support.
Am I still here?
That's dangerous. That's dangerous. And that's what
they
believe.
Am I still here?
Miles,
still
are
here?
You speaking?
Yes.
Is it okay?
Yes.
You're on.
That wasn't the point that I was making. That's already a well-known point.
Yep.
These people are just flat-out imposters.
Right.
They're imposters. They
right.
are not who they claim they are.
Exactly. They are not of the faith of the flesh or the promise of Abraham. They are imposters.
That's what needs to be said.
That's right. The state of Israel is a hoax on the entire world. And,
yes.
And that's the thing, is that these people are consummate liars. And that's
they're
what
imposters.
We're facing. Beg your pardon?
Yes. They're imposters.
Exactly.
Now, about the media thing, how do we get this out? How do
we
get any credibility?
Very good point. Now, one thing is what I've said for a long time, is we have to have better websites. Like, I made some websites, you know, they're attacked, but I make a website. My website, through my website, a lot of people are able to read my material. Also find we have to be our own media. We also have to, you know, CNN is not going to do it for us. The New York Times is not going to do it for us. I agree with people that tell me that, you know, that's clear. But there are smaller magazines and newspapers around the country. There are trade brochures. There are scientific magazines. There are all kinds of other magazines and newspapers and media that we need to appeal to, because we have to inform our fellow Americans and world citizens about this evidence. that we've been lied to about 911, and that the entire eight-year nightmare that we've been going through is based on a pack of lies. And that's what we have to do. We have to, and we have to demand that our local politicians and our representatives in Congress address these facts.
Could I step in here for just a second?
I've given up on them a long time ago.
Okay, Miles, I'm going to step in here for just a
sure.
a comment here, and maybe have Christopher or Pat enlarge upon this. We talked about the controlled media and the film and the radio, television, and we haven't talked about so much about the anti-Christian culture that is presented in many cases on those media that we just talked about. We also have violence and perverse entertainment, so forth. But we rarely talk about the power in high places in the Justice Department, the judicial branches, and the legislative and the executive. And we have hit on it today with the chief in the White House, the chief of staff, talked about, and this is the work of Christopher Boleyn, Lev Dasson, who is the acting attorney. And I understand now that he came into position 2008 in the first part of December, and back in a little bit when we were talking about what you had found out before, he was the prosecutor in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing and received an award for his work in 1998 of Ramzi Youssef, right? The mastermind. And so he then also worked with Chertoff on that. I'm bringing that back up because if they have control in key positions in the judiciary, and in Madoff's case, where you've cited, where and when will we find what we need to know? We just might not if it isn't for the people to rise up and demand something different.
Exactly. That's the design, Barbara Jean. That's the design of their plan, was to control the investigation, control the access to the evidence, et cetera, control the interpretation in the media, and then control the judicial process, where the people are in the courts. Like Ellen Mariani and people like that. And that's what they controlled. Judge Heller, like I said, a few people in the right places, Hellerstein, Chertoff. Chertoff was in charge of the criminal investigation. I mean, this is Michael Chertoff is the man that authorized the exportation of all the steel from World Trade Center to be melted down in Asia. I mean, this man is clearly the key player in the cover-up of 911. And that's why I don't feel very safe in the United States, because And that's also why I don't go and talk to radio shows that might be seen as racial or provocative, because they will then turn around and when they nab me, they'll hold that against me. And they'll say, Mr. Boleyn, but they'll say you were in some insightful radio program or something, and they'll throw you away for 40 years. That's why I only talk to people like you.
It's interesting as we are speaking, and I'm sure Pat is aware of this also. In the Senate, they are considering a Senate Bill 909, hate speech legislation that recently passed the House. And if that should pass the Senate, then we will not be able to have this kind of a dialogue on the air. And, of course, that has been pushed and pressured, according to Pastor Pike and others, in a very, very strong way and powerful way by the ADL.
Exactly.
Okay, but we still haven't said, how do we get this out?
Well,
we're getting it out today, aren't we?
And get it out and contact your local media. If the Fresno Bee doesn't take it, contact the Sacramento Bee if that's any better, or papers in Marin County or in the Bay Area or Oakland or whatever. But let them know. Send them faxes and show the scientific paper to your friends and let them read it and have them do the same. Because you see, if the people in Thailand can shut down their government, if the people in other countries can shut down their government overnight just by sheer presence of numbers at the in their capitals, then we can do it. You know, the American people can do it as well. We're not crippled, we're not handicapped, and we're not retarded. We can do it. And we have
we
to
do
it. We have to take
we
action.
We have to.
Exactly.
Was interviewed shortly after 9/11 New York Times, September 12, 2001, when he was asked what 9/11 meant for the U.S.-Israel relations, his comment was, "It's very good," end quote. Pat, do you have a comment or question for Christopher Berlin before we go to the top of the hour?
I do, but it probably gets so entailed because I believe going back, not just to 9/11, I believe going back to the Kennedy days. Because the day he died, somebody took the stock market for billions of dollars, and that never came out. And it was run by the CIA, and it brings us to the same people who are running the country now. And I think
exactly.
That should be opened up.
Exactly.
Very interesting.
At that time, we didn't have the Internet, remember. We didn't have the information we have now, but we have that, and that's something to build on, and there should be a lot of questions asked on that thing. I did a lot of research on it, and I was quite surprised.
Very good. Today, I think that the listener should be armed with a lot of information and be able to take action. And that's what you're pleading for, isn't it, Christopher? So I'll give you the closing minutes here, and thanks so much, and let's hopefully do it again real soon.
Well, sure. Thank you. Yes, absolutely. You know, the information is there. Most importantly, I go back to this discovery of superthermite in the dust of the World Trade Center, not just in one sample or two samples, but in all five samples. And the amount of dust was very, very large. That means that there were tons and tons and tons of this thermite, superthermite, that had been applied to the insides of these two twin towers. With that, the American people should be in a state of revolt. If this had happened in any other country, and the amount of information was now made public to the people, as is now made in the Jones paper, there would be hundreds and hundreds of people protesting. But for some reason, Americans are very, very slow to take political action, and they're not well organized. That's a big problem. You know, with the death of the unions and things like that, the Americans are not well organized. And we have to reorganize. We have to get active in our churches and about the truth, not just about praying and things like that. But we have to get active about the truth. And we have to also organize ourselves politically. We need new political parties. Our political parties are not working.
I would strongly recommend to the listener out there today to go to Christopher's website, put on your thinking cap, and get ready, because there are wonderful essays there, and I'm excited to look forward to your book. In one of your essays, I picked up a quote from Thomas Paine, and it's, "There is too much common sense and independence in America to belong to the dupes of any faction, foreign or domestic." But the question is, are we independent today in 2009 when we so need to be?
Not as much as we were then, because the media titillates and people spend too much time watching television, and they ascribe too much credibility. They watch these talking heads on CNN and BBC just reading off the teleprompters, just like Obama. Obama only looks at 2 o'clock and at 10 o'clock. You know why? Because he's only reading off those damn prompters. The man can't speak off the cuff. And we have to get back. These people, this is all deception, Barbara Jean. We're a bigger country. We're bigger people than that. These people do not have any great power over us.
It's
deception.
Time.
Okay,
time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.